I want to thank all the ladies who have worked hard in preparing the meals every day for us. The food's been delicious and we've appreciated it.
Amen.
And also all you families who have kept us in your home year after year, we appreciate the hospitality of opening up your home to us. So we really thank you for that. It's nice to have a place you feel sort of at home at when you come back to the States for a little while. Before I get on, I kept back a few of those little book Bible markers, so if anyone here didn't get one, let me know and I'll get you one. I only have about 6 or 7 left, but if you didn't get one, let me know and I'll get you one. Open your Bible to Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel. Amen. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Amen. You know, it says here that many things happened to Paul that fell out to the furtherance of the gospel. And it's interesting he says rather, because, you know, the things that happened seem to be put there to hinder. Things that come up in the ministry and in the work and the preaching in your own life seem to be put there by the devil to try to hinder your testimony, hinder the word going out. But you know, this here really gives me something to rejoice about.
Amen.
Because even when the devil tries to destroy the work, even when the devil tries to discourage you or send some problem your way, a lot of times the Lord turns it around and you get a victory out of it.
Amen.
Now I really rejoice in my heart knowing that God can turn around a seeming disaster.
That's right.
You know, something terrible comes up. You think about Paul. How many times was Paul in a real bad situation? You think Paul when he's preaching in Philippi and they come and they just haul him off to jail, put him in jail, and many of us would be in that jail cell griping and crying and asking, oh Lord, why me? I mean, I'm down there preaching the gospel. How come I'm end up in this place? No, Paul and Silas are down there. They're singing away. They're just praising the Lord and singing away. And I'm sure that made the devil a little bit mad, knowing that Paul was rejoicing in being there. But then after that, the Philippian jailer comes up and he wants to get saved. You know, God took a situation that for many of us would just tear us apart. We'd be complaining and griping, but He turned it around, and a Philippian jailer was converted because of that. And that's what I see in what Paul says here about the furtherance of the gospel. First of all, many things happen that directly have a part in someone getting saved. Paul was serving the Lord and doing what God wanted him to do. And he gets in a situation and he follows through what he should do by faith. He just praises God. And God takes that and opens this jailer's eyes and he gets saved. Paul was used in a direct way for that jailer to get saved. And of course he also talks here about the palace. And we find other places where Paul, it seems like Paul has converted even some of Caesar's household. You know, by being in a jail or by being in bonds, Paul is able to have a part in someone getting saved. And so the thing the devil puts in your way, the thing the devil brings your way that are inevitably put there to hinder and to discourage you, if you just by faith trust God. Not worry about what could happen or what it seems like was going on. Just trust God and do what you should do. You'll find a lot of times there'll be a victory there and souls might be saved because of it. I find many times we have lack of faith. You know, a lot of times we have an idea of how things should be done. You know, it's got to be done this way. And we might go out to preach in the streets, or we might go out door knocking, we might go to work, but having in our head what we think is the way that it should be done. And we'll find later on that God has a different plan sometimes. I mean, God doesn't always do things the way you want them done. In fact, it's probably very seldom that you do it that way. But we are so stubborn and we think that it's got to be done a certain way and we have, sort of have our eyes closed. I remember Brent preached a year or two back about Jesus going to the woman at the well, and it talked about, he spoke about how Jesus, he stopped on the way to Samaria at the well, and he wasn't worried about getting to Samaria, and he didn't have his eyes closed. He, along the way, he was thinking about how he could talk to somebody and how he could be a blessing to somebody. And so he gets to the well and he talks to the woman at the well. But many of us, we have in our head, we gotta get to Samaria, and we don't even think about any other thing. And a circumstance comes our way and we think, well, it's the devil trying to keep me from getting there. But we don't even try to think about how God can turn that around and change our plans maybe. But we'll have a direct part in somebody hearing the gospel and getting saved. In Leon, it happened many times. Those of you who don't know, there was a certain man in Leon. I mean, if you've been down there to meet him, you know what I'm trying to say. This guy is one bad dude. I mean, you don't want to preach to this guy every day. I mean, he'll give you ulcers. I've been preaching for about 4 years now, and 4 or 5 years. And even now, I go down to Leon and I preach down there, and I see that guy coming, and my heart just starts racing, and my knees start wobbling, and I can't talk very well. This guy, he's a bell ringer for the Catholic Church. And I think he's got in his mind, he wants to be the next Catholic martyr. I mean, he sees all of Leon as a town, of Catholics who are very fanatic, but that none of them are willing to die for their faith. And so I think he wants to be the one that stands out in the crowd and just sort of leads the way for Catholics to die, to fight with whatever they've got for their faith. Well, anyway, what he does is he stirs up a big crowd of people. I mean, he'll start telling all kinds of lies and start making false accusations about gringos and missionaries and political things just to get the crowd all stirred up. And of course, a lot of it was going on during the time when the United States was really involved in Nicaragua and Honduras, other countries like that. And so these things are really, you know, they're obvious things that Mexicans, a lot of people down there, hate the U.S. because of that. And so he used all these things to get the people all stirred up. And many times we'd be cut off in the middle of our preaching. We're preaching down there and maybe one of us would get done preaching, but by the time the next guy got up, you've got 150, 200 people gathered around yelling at the top of their lungs, get out of here, gringo, long live the Virgin, long live the Pope, and all kinds of stupidities. And you think, oh boy, you know, you think, what am I doing here? Why don't just go home, and sometimes we get done, we couldn't preach anymore. We try to talk to people that are standing around, and we just walk on home. But, you know, many, many times, people would stick around, and they'd ask questions, you know. They'd say, or I had people come up to me afterwards, when I was walking home, and they'd come up and they'd say, look, I'm sorry. They said, I'm a Catholic, but I am ashamed. I'm embarrassed about the way they are treating you. It embarrasses me that these people call themselves religious, but they are doing this kind of persecution to you who are just preaching the gospel, the Bible. Now, they wouldn't get converted, but just the idea of them seeing the difference. But one night was a special night. One night, after Bill and I had preached down there to a mean, mean crowd, we got done and there was nobody to talk to. We started walking home, and I think I went one way, he went the other way, but a young lady came up to Bill and she said, hey, I want to talk to you. Of course, sometimes you get sort of skeptical, you know, but she really did. She said, I want to talk to you about I want to hear more about what you're saying. So Bill realized that she was really wanting to know what's going on. So he took some time and talked to her, and they set up a Bible study for that next week. And in time, it was a short time, she got saved.
Amen.
And then she brought her sister. His sister got saved, and her brother got saved, and his brother, and he got saved. So four people out of the same family got saved Even when the devil was trying to use everything he could to wipe us out, to make us go home whipped and beaten, discouraged, God turned it around and touched one woman's heart, opened her eyes, and we were a direct way for her to hear the gospel. And that's how it happens a lot of times. God changes our plans, uses his own way of dealing with people. But you know, another way Paul talks about here is an indirect way. He talks about many of the brethren waxing confident by my bonds are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You know, another way that Paul furthered the gospel is that he inspired many men. He inspired people to get out and preach the gospel. They might, maybe because he was in jail and he couldn't do it, they took up the cause and said, well, somebody's got to do it, so they got out and did it. But however you want to see it, Paul, he inspired men to preach the gospel. These things that happened, these persecutions, these discouragements that happened, were God turned them around and used them to inspire men to get out and follow Paul's example. And I think many times we're not thinking about the others behind us that could be made more bold by us. We're worried about what we can do. We're worried about the results that we can have. And if we don't see any way we'll have results, we just as soon not do anything. Let me tell you, a lot of times what you do as far as preaching or witnessing will inspire 10 other people to do the same thing that can do 10 times as much as you can. But again, we have our own plan, don't we? We have our own way we want to do things. We have our own ideas, but we have to remember that God has his own plan. You know, it talks about Stephen. Look over there in Acts with me. Acts chapter 11. Acts 11:19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. You might ask, you might think that Stephen died for nothing. You might think Stephen gets up and he preaches his first sermon in the open air, and no longer has he done that, they rush him and they stone him and he dies right there in the street. And you think, what a wasted life. What a waste of a ministry. What a waste of a good preacher. But you know, it says here that after that happened, many were scattered abroad. They went to and fro preaching the gospel. I spoke the other night about the labor is not in vain. Let's go back and ask Stephen. Let's ask Stephen if that message was in vain. Let's ask Stephen if it was worth it to get up there in front of all these religious fanatics and preach the truth to them, knowing that he might die right there. And he'd tell you, he'd do it over again. Amen. He did it all over again. You think about the witness that went out after all that. Stephen inspired many people to get out and preach the gospel, just like Paul did. Well, that's how God does things. Not always how we think it ought to be done. We'd like to get up and preach the gospel in the street and 3,000 people get saved that night and 3,000 the next night and 3,000 the next night. But God has different plans. Let me tell you, the things you do may not have a lot of results as far as souls getting saved directly, but you can inspire many people. You can inspire many young people to get out and follow your example. It's a shame that so many of us pass up opportunities to leave an example for those behind us. We need to have some faith, brethren. We need to forget about what we see. We need to quit walking by sight. Quit looking at the circumstances. Quit thinking about the persecution we might have to suffer, and think about what God can do. Think about what God can do. Look back at Paul and you'll see what God can do. You know, one time, or several times in Leon, as we were preaching the gospel in the park, people would come up to us from the Baptist church, from the Pentecostal church, other different churches, and they'd get right in the heat of the battle. They'd get right in there, and sometimes they'd get in the way. Sometimes, you know, they'd sort of throw you off and mess up your talk you're having. But many times, they would get right in the thick of the battle, and they'd just help you out and do what they could. And that inspired them. You know, they may not have had the guts. And many of them didn't. They didn't have the guts like we didn't at first to get out there in the middle of downtown and preach. But by us preaching down there, it inspired many people to get out there and help us out. And so, you can inspire people. You can inspire others to get up and and also help out in the preaching of the gospel. One man I have in mind in Leon, he was already saved when we met him, but he came from a different church and he was fed up with the church there. But I met him on the street one day. A brother in the church introduced me to him, and he said, this man, he wants to hear you guys preach. I said, okay, fine. So after a couple of days, I asked him, I said, do you want to preach after I do? He said, no, I said, I'll wait. I want to listen. I want to learn. And I just want to take some notes, sort of, you know, and just listen. And so he did. He came with us for a couple of weeks listening, and after a couple of weeks, he got up and he started preaching with us. And now, as far as I know, he's going full time preaching the gospel in the streets every day there in Leon. And, you know, we inspired that man. I had a part in inspiring that man to get up and preach. And he was gracious enough to take some learning, and I appreciate that. But you can have a part in inspiring others to preach the gospel.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, look in verse 27 of Philippians 1. Philippians 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That first phrase there has a lot of meaning in it. Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. The way you live, the things you do, the way you are, the way you talk, everything you are, it needs to be becoming the gospel of Christ. The reaction you have, when persecution comes may have a real bearing on what
Amen.
Comes out of that persecution. I mean, you want to see souls saved because of what happens? Well, you better be careful what your reaction is. I mean, if while you're being persecuted, you get upset and you return evil for evil and do the same thing they do, you know, you're not going to have a real impact on somebody's life. The main reason that people came up to us in Leon after we preached was they saw a difference. And I tell you, sometimes they didn't see much difference. I mean, sometimes you get so frustrated when you're trying to talk and 50 people are talking just to interrupt you. It's hard to keep your cool. But you know, we need to be careful how our conversation is. And what we do, the way we act in these circumstances, that it be becoming to the gospel. Well, you know, I was thinking on the way over here. You hear many people talking about that they don't preach, they don't witness a lot, they just live good, and they're gonna try to win people by being good. And I believe that's possible. The Bible talks about the wife winning the husband without the word. But you know, it also says over there that the lost have got to hear. Because they're not gonna believe unless they've heard the gospel. I mean, they're not going to call unless they believe, and they're not going to believe unless they hear the gospel. And I believe we need to have both things. I believe we need to strive, do our best, do the best we can to preach the gospel to this lost world. I believe we need to do all we can to get the word out. Not just living good and trusting that our testimony will convince them, but we need to get the gospel out. At the same time, we need to make sure, brethren, that our conversation becomes the gospel. Our family life, our attitude at work, our attitude when persecution comes up in the street or wherever we are, I think it should become the gospel of Christ if we want to have the impact that Paul did. I want to be like Paul. I want to be like Jesus, you know. I want to be just like he was. But I think my first step may be being like Paul. You know, Paul had his downfalls. But I want to be like Paul, where what he did, by preaching the gospel, he was able to lead people to the Lord, even in the midst of persecution, and at the same time, able to inspire other men to get up and preach with him. Amen.
Amen.